Well, you have, through your work, led you into some surprising situations that you never thought you'd be in, right?
Yeah.
You were the lead negotiator in obtaining the Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan archives.
That's true.
And Bob Dylan, I think, would have been in, when he became famous, you would have been in the Navy.
That was an interesting story there. One of the things that about Bob Dylan and his fans, it has to do with when he shifted from strings into electronic guitars. And it was at a concert in Newport, Rhode Island.
I can tell you the date, July 25th, 1965.
Yeah, yes. My wife and I were there at that concert. And so when I tell, when I was negotiating the Bob Dylan deal, and I would say, well, I was there at that concert. Well, it was almost like they would bow down to me, you know, because they worship Bob Dylan. At the time, we didn't know. Well, I had just been at sea, you know, and then I didn't know anything about the culture, and had no idea what was going on, and never really put it together until later years. Yeah,
right. You just happened upon a 15-minute set of rock and roll.
Yes,
that was initially. Now, you've no doubt seen the movie, the Bob Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown.
Yes.
So when they show that scene, you say, I was there.
I was there. And when I would tell these people that, you know, that were working on the Bob Dylan project and all this about this, you know, I was like one of them, you know.
All right. So I see you have two guitars here sitting against the wall. Is there a story related to any of this that we're talking about?
Not Woody Guthrie or Bob Dylan, but you may remember that Philip Kaiser,
I know of him,
sponsored these in the Arts District for 3 or 4 years, sponsored musical concerts. But I did all that legal work for him for free, and that's the reward I got, are those two guitars.
And then you led the effort to purchase Dylan's archives on behalf of the George Kaiser Family Foundations and the University of Tulsa. Was that a challenging, or was there some delicate aspects of that negotiation that stood out for you? And could you feel any Dylan influence at all from him?
We dealt with a man named Cohen who spoke for him. I never met him during the negotiations. And those are really complex agreements, by the way. I mean, a lot goes on. But one of the things I was really striving to do was to get Bob Dylan come to the opening of the Bob Dylan Center. And I never could get him to commit to do it. He just would not do it.
Did you ever speak to him?
No. Yeah. And in fact, it was astounding to me when we were negotiating this contract about a volume of artifacts and documents. And I had never seen the documents or seen the artifacts or seen the inventory of them. I just knew that there was this vast inventory of these things. So after we actually got the contract put together, I said, well, now you got to send me the exhibit, right, to the contract so I can look at it. I just nearly fainted. It was just voluminous amount of things that Bob Dylan has kept. You've been to the Bob Dylan Center, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And have you ever been back in the archives? No. Yeah, well, it's just an enormous amount of material that over his lifetime he has kept. And the scholars still come in all the time and study those materials.
Right. Well, they were processed and stored at the Helmrich Center for American Research at first, weren't they?
Yes.
And they've been relocated now to the system of the American Song Archives.
Yes, uh-huh.
Which is now shown and managed at the Bob Dylan Center, so it's all there.
Yes, yeah. Right, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Was that a long negotiation? Did it take you a long time?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to I'd probably say 6 months, something like that.
You're negotiating too as a business person. Was a dollar amount, was that a big issue?
Yes, the dollar amount was agreed to before I ever got involved.
Okay.
It was not a big issue for me. I think George personally and Ken Levitt probably, mm-hmm. I mean, I was just given a number, mm-hmm. so I was not part of those discussions.
Mm-hmm. There are many stories about Bob Dylan, but I think the last concert he was here, he actually went to a Driller ball game. Did you hear that?
Yes.
And so there are those of us who wondered if he went to that by himself, walked there, if he would have walked past the Dylan Center at all.
Well, he physically would not have had to.
No, no. We're hoping he did.
Yeah.
But then you were involved in Woody Guthrie's negotiation as well.
Yes.
Between the two of them, was any more difficult than the other?
No, I think they're about the. I think they're about the same.
Right.
I mean it. You know, business contracts negotiations can get heated.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of argument. These were more pleasant kind of discussions. Everybody just trying to get a document that was workable for everybody.
Because everybody wanted it to happen.
Everybody wanted it to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Woody Guthrie's papers are also held by the American Song Archives, and you can see them at the Woody Guthrie Center.
Right.
That'll make you feel good to know that you helped in establishing these two museums in our town?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And there are destinations for people
from everywhere.
From everywhere, right. Yeah. They will come here specifically for those two.
Yeah.
And then see our other fine museums as well.
Yeah, in fact, the lawyer that I negotiated the Bob Dylan Center with was a lawyer located in Los Angeles. Just, I don't know, maybe 9 months ago, certainly within the last year, I'd been trying to get him to come to Tulsa, and he'd never come. And finally, he and his wife came out to tour the center, and he was just blown away to actually see it. You know,
yeah.
It's just amazing.
So just those two museums, you wonder about the economic impact it had on our city. And I don't know if anybody can really trace that or not, but you know it has to be a high percentage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's just